Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 it's Crystal Willingham, and you are on the air live with me. That's right, it's not a recording tonight. Welcome to Power, Triumph, and Influence. This is powered by Blog Talk Radio and brought to you by the GLAM Network Radio Network. GLAM is an acronym for God Loves All of Me, and I love all of you. So get ready for some girl talk tonight. My girl Sonya Land is going to join me tonight. We're going to talk about some things that are on our hearts and the things that we're doing in life. She's a mom, a wife, and she's an advocate. And I'll let her introduce that advocacy to you. And we're going to talk a little bit about her life and her journey as well. So, hey, let's sit back and relax and have an epiphany. We'll be right back. This show segment is brought to you by Rise Management and Consulting Firm. Rise Management and Consulting Firm is helping you rebuild your credit. Learn how to understand your credit, read your credit score, understand your credit rights, repair your credit, legally watch your credit score improve within 30 days. You'll get consultations, unlimited email access, and 10% off your first product purchase. For more information, visit www.risemcf.com. That's www.risemcf.com. Or visit them on Facebook, Rise Management and Consulting Firm, helping you rebuild your credit. That's right. Tell everybody the Rise Management Consulting Firm that I sent you. You won't be able to get that discount until you do. So let us know. Let them know that you heard it on the GLAM Network radio station. Just a few seconds. In a few seconds, I'm going to play a little music for you. And right after that, we're going to bring on my special guest tonight. She's somebody I met on social media, and I kind of just, you know, gravitated to her, and I really like her personality. And she's got some other things going on, too, because we already know that the ladies that we interview on GLAM Network Radio, especially on this media series, Power, Triumph, and Influence, we are about empowerment. We are about talking about stories of encouragement and uplifting. And these women have powerful stories. They have stories that will influence you to change your life. And they are stories of triumphancy where they have overcome major obstacles in their lives. And there's so many people that do listen that don't know how to get over those obstacles. And maybe someone's life story will be a testament to you, that you too can get through the things that are hurled at you through everyday life. Hey, call your girlfriends, call mama, call grandma, call your sisters and all your wives. Fellas, I know you listen because I get the emails and the messages, so thank you so much. But listen, call them all up and tell them they want to hear girl chat tonight with Crystal and Sonya, okay? We'll be right back in a few minutes, and I'll bring my guest on for you.
I am the salt of the earth, I am the light of the world, I am a child of God. I am enslaved to God, an expression of the life of Christ, He is my life. I am strong in the Lord, I am forgiven, redeemed, healed, delivered. I am free from all bondage, shame, and defeat. The Spirit of God lives inside of me. I've been born with a price, I'm no longer my own. I answer to a higher calling. am Christ's friend, a slave to righteousness. He gave his life for me.
This segment is brought to you by Shulamite Women Magazine, an online magazine for today's Christian women. Get real talk on the real issues at ShulamiteWomen.com.
Awesome. That was Victorious by Kezia Alford. If you need more music from her, you can go to her website and her page, KeziaAlfordMusic.com, and she'll be more than happy. I'm telling you, if you go to her CD Baby website, you'll find some very awesome surprises there for you. I won't tell you. You'll have to go get it. CD Baby, look her up, Kezia Alford. Okay, so tonight I decided to shift gears today and be a little serious and a little comical, have some fun, do what we do. And I asked my friend Sonia Land to come on and talk to us. We're going to have a little girl talk. She's a phenomenal young lady. I talked with her just a few minutes ago, a few hours ago today, and I discovered some things just kind of doing my little research, because I do research on my guests. And I found out that she's got a couple of hidden treasures inside of her. So I'm going to let her share those treasures with you. And then right before we do all of that, I'm going to share with you my nugget for today. So we are facing this tremendously weighty election season, and I get it. There's some things that we just kind of sort of don't agree with both of our candidates. And I've heard this before when George Bush Jr. was running for president, and we were forced with what we call voting for the lesser of two evils. I didn't see that, but was the case when George Jr. was running for that second term, but I see that now, and I'm wondering, what in the world are we going to do? So my advice and wisdom nugget to you is to always consult God in everything. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. So acknowledge God before you go to the polls. After you've listened to your candidates and you've heard what they have to say and you've weighed them in your carnal mind, go inside of your spiritual mind and weigh those things before God and ask God what to do when you get to the polls or before you get to the polls. And remember this, you're not just voting for the president, you're also voting for you're also electing officials in your city, in your state. Know those that labor among you. Know those who are state officials. Those of us that are in the kingdom that are doing work in the community, we have to know who is in position and what their stances are. Because if you don't know, then you won't know what to bring to the table when you have need of them to shift gears for you during those community projects. It will not be easy for us, especially church, those of us in the church. It will not be as easy for us in times past to get the funds that we need and to be able to do things that we're doing now. It's going to get harder to do that. And I don't know if you understand prophetically what I'm speaking to you, but hear this, that these things will become harder and harder to do. So you need a strategy. You need to know what God is saying. You need to know what position he's placing you in and why and how to operate in those positions. Because when you are put in a position to help the community, you are also adding to the kingdom. And so when we take on these projects in our community, we have to have a full-blown understanding of what it is that we are doing and why, okay? Know your why. When you know your why, it makes things a little bit easier, and you have more passion when you know your why, okay? So that's my nugget for today. I know it's a little past, it's a minute past my normal rant time, but thank you for listening. So tonight I got my guest on, Sonya Land. I told you guys I discovered her on social media, and I just love her spirit and her willingness to be peaceable about things. We had a little riff on social media once with someone else, a mutual social media friend, and it just didn't go too well. So, but Sonya was really trying hard to be the peacemaker, and she did a good job, you know. But, hey, sometimes you got to delete and block people, right, Sonya?
Yep. Amen.
So, Sonya, thank you for joining me tonight. I did not do you justice, not because I didn't do my research, but I just kind of think that our girl chat situation today would be a much better presentation of who you are and what you do. Sonya's a wife and a mom. How many children do you have?
Seven children.
Okay, so I'm going to stop right there. And I'm going to say bless your heart for joining me tonight.
Yes.
Sonya's taking time out of her busy schedule from seven children. I believe some of your children are adults, correct?
None of them are adults. The oldest is 17 years old. And
okay, I thought he was on his, I thought he was in college or something. Is his last year in school?
He graduated last year. We homeschooled, so he graduated last year, and now he's in South Africa on a mission trip and interning.
Wow.
And yeah.
Seven children, Sonya. So I got to – you're definitely one of the reasons why we had the discussion earlier today, and you guys, we have a surprise for you. Sonya's going to be doing something on the Glam Network Radio show every week, so I'll share that with you at the end. But Sonya, seven children, and your wife, and you're an advocate, and you do things in your community. And how are you able to, first of all, tell us about you a little bit, and then after that, tell us how you, in the world, are you able to manage full-time all of that?
Okay, before I want to get into that, I want to thank you, Crystal, for this awesome network that you have built and walking out your destiny and being a woman of encouragement to all of us and a woman of influence. So I really thank you for that. I think that we really need that, especially being women in business on the online world and you just getting us all together and building that community.
Yes,
so
amen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So, you wanted me to tell you guys about myself. Was that what it was? I better write these questions down.
You know what? I know you're multifaceted, but Sonya, what I like about you is that you represent the everyday woman. Okay, so you're at home, and you can put your hair up in a bun, go work out, you know, set the homeschool schedule, cook dinner, go do a community project right quick, go work out real quick, come back home, do something else. I can't thank you enough for even being on the show because there are so many of us who are everyday women who have families that were married and we long to reach out to the community. So, you know, tell us about the facet of Sonya first as a wife and a mom and an advocate and things you do. How are you able to, you know, introduce that part of you to us, and then tell us, how do you manage? Because I'm in awe. My face is on the floor.
Yeah. You know, a lot, I'll get into how I manage, but, you know, before I get into that, I really have to just kind of emphasize where I came from. You know, I came from a very strict religious home. And, you know, I grew up feeling like, okay, God was a mean God, and if I sinned, I'm going to hell. You know, so I was very obedient up until a place where, you know, I was about 12 years old, and I was just going through a lot of stuff. I fell away from the church. I started seeking the love and affection and attention in the wrong areas, which were from men.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've always wanted to be a mom and a wife, and I just went down the wrong direction, and, you know, a snowball effect in that direction until finally God got a hold of me and 7 years ago. And so I was like, you know, I want to be a mom. I want to be a wife. And so that's where, you know, that comes from. That's where my passion really comes from, because I wanted to be able to be a mom, be a wife, and also bring in an income for my family and be out in the community. So that's where the drive comes from, and just what God and Jesus has done in my life in these last 7 years. Like, that's, you know, that's the foundation of it all. So, you know, like me being out there in the community, I didn't know any other way. I just heard God, and I just went and did it, and I figured it out.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know, and I just had to, I really had to get
it. I want to stop you for 1 second. You say you figured it out. You know, some people are struggling with figuring it out. Tell us how you figured it out.
You know, I heard God say to do something. And so I was like, okay, well, let me figure out what that means. And, you know, I prayed about it. And then I was like, okay, well, here's my next step. And I was given my next step. And then I went online, I did some research. And upon doing research, I came across a organization that helps and trains women in the same exact thing that I heard God say to do. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, there's other people out there like me that have a background of being in, being sexually exploited. And so that was just my first steps of figuring it out. You know, all they did was, here's the training. We're already doing this. And then they just send you out. There's no, you know, helping with setting up it or exactly what to do, you know, in your own community. So I just went into my own community and said, you know, I took my best friend. I said, this is what we're doing. This is what God's placed on my heart. And so let's go do it. And so that's pretty much how it started.
Wow.
With me reaching out to the community.
And in reaching out to the community, Sonya, you know, I know a lot of us desire to do that. I know I do. And we talked earlier about what that reach is in the community, and we'll go into that a little later. But, you know, us reaching out to the community, girl, what, you know, we have to balance, make sure that our home atmosphere does not suffer for our absence when we're out in the community doing what we do, and making sure that our marriage is solid, stay solid and locked and loaded, and all of that. I know for me, this has been one of my biggest concerns. You know, my children. You know, I don't want my children to ever feel like I'm not available. Okay, now I have, five, I gave birth to five. I have four, and you have seven. So, how do you manage all those personalities as a mother? Because, you know, when you're out in the community, you mother the community. This is what we do, especially for women. We go out into the community and we mother the community. But then you're mothering at home. So how do you manage seven personalities 7 different types of food habits, 7 different sleep patterns. Do you run the house military style, or do you allow freedoms? Everyone's house is different. Tell the other moms how you do that, because it's amazing to me.
You know, that is a great question. I think along these last years, it's been trial and error. And I can honestly say, like, I need order, but I also need freedom in that order. And so you mentioned military style. A lot of it was I did need a guideline of how I was going to manage my home and how I was going to manage each different child's extracurricular activities, homework, foods, personalities, everything. And a lot of it came down, for me, it came down to scheduling and setting boundaries as well, and having a goal for our family. So for our whole family collectively. And so I wasn't going to add in things that wasn't going to push the goals for our family forward. And with my children, when I first became born again 7 years ago, one of the advices that me and my husband got from a pastor was to know your children's gifts. You know, what gift has God given them? And
that's right.
And that's really how we are able to, you know, quote unquote, manage each child differently and help them grow and develop. And that's through the spiritual gifts that God has given them and being able to teach them and train them in those specific areas.
Wow. And so your husband, your team, and starting out as a team, but then walking into the ways of Christ and knowing what you know now as opposed to what you knew then, knowing Christ and really applying the principles of Christ really helps us obtain that flow that we want to a family when you're running your house. You know, what are some of the gifts that your children have, and what are some of the things? And your oldest son is in Africa doing something, doing missions, and I don't know too many parents that I probably would lose my mind, but then again, if it's God, it's God, but I probably lose my mind just semi knowing that my oldest child is in Africa. I'm losing it now, and my second oldest is 3 hours away in college. So how do you manage how were you and your husband able to manage those gifts and talents and all of that? As what you guys are pastor in the church. Now I have a best friend who lives in Detroit, Michigan. Her mom raised 14. So, they were in stages. You got them all in the house at one time. And I think they were all in stages 7 at a time. So, you know, getting to know those gifts and talents in your children and managing them. I mean, do you live in the car, in the van? Do you have extracurricular activities you got to get them to? I mean, what does that entail?
Yeah, you know, first of all, with my son, Tony, that's in South Africa, it really started to, we really started seeing that he had a gift of reaching people and being missional-minded. Mm-hmm. He has a huge heart, and so I think that was the main thing. You know, we've seen him going in a direction where it was like, okay, you know, we're really on our knees and we're praying about this, but he also still had that. I want to do missions. I want to go help people. I want to travel and just serve the poor and the needy. And so we're like, you know what? We have a choice of forcing him to fit in this box over here and him rebelling, or we have a choice of being able to support him in what he feels God is calling him to do. And he is doing amazing there. He was only supposed to be there 3 months now. And then he called, he said, you know, I want to extend my visa another 5 months. So we're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's just so amazing to see our son walking in his calling. And, you know, he's been there 6 months now, and then September come back, mm-hmm. work, make some money, and he was planning to go back to South Africa, and now he's like, you know, actually, I feel like I want to stay here, and he's going to be leading one of the schools where interns are going to be coming and learning how to do missions at the school that he learned at how
wow.
to do missions. So it's just amazing, and I think that was, you know, having to see if he stayed here, and we're like, no, we're, you know, we have these fears, we want you to fit in this box. It would have went a totally different direction, I believe.
That's right.
So,
that's right. I believe the same thing. I believe that's an awesome point to make. And you know, you didn't overpower him with what you thought he should do, as opposed to watching God do this work in him and allowing him to be yielded to the call of God on his life. And I think some of us dropped the ball with that. And but with what you are saying to us now, some of us who are listening, especially moms, you know, pay close attention to the things that your children are passionate about in recognizing their gifts. So, Sonia, your son is in South Africa. Who's next on the what age is next on? Take us down the line from your son in South Africa
okay.
to the youngest. What are their ages?
12, 11, and then 6, 5, 4, and 3 years old.
First. All right. So,
yeah.
You didn't see your feet for a couple of years, you know, especially in
their
separate.
Like 5
I know,
years.
I have stair steppers, you know. But my stair steppers are a year and 2 weeks apart. So I did not.
I
saw my feet a lot more than you did. So you didn't see your feet for a while, and now you have 7 children. And I have to applaud you. I could not imagine managing that the way that you and your husband have so far. And so how do you manage that, Sonia, and then keep your passion for the community? Then let's shift gears into that. How are you able to do that?
A lot of it is scheduling. I just wrote down, you know, the goals that I had for our family, the schedule for each child, for my husband, for myself, and really just protected that. And there was a lot of times where, you know, I had to set down my dreams aside for that season. And now that I'm not pregnant for 5 years and that they're a little bit older, I'm able to go mm-hmm. back to that season that I had to lay it down, and I can now pick it back up and start where I left off. But a lot of it was basically managing the schedule, you know, having a really clear schedule and setting boundaries. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, that was a trial and error thing too. You know, sometimes I was taking too much on and, you know, being stressed out and feeling like, oh, I'm a bad mom, my kids are being neglected, you know, all those feelings. And then I was like, okay, wait, you know, Jesus help me. And, you know, I was able to really see, okay, what is God calling me to do in this season? So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's important, knowing what you're supposed to be doing and what season you're supposed to be doing it. And that's very, very, very key in raising children, especially children who want to go out and do something with their lives. You know, we have finally crossed over the entitled generation. The entitled generation is starting to weed out, and now we're discovering children are doing great things. Locally here, there's a group, brother and sister group here, that is collecting food for people in their community. I think it's called the Food Closet or something like that. And they were able to get the local grocery store Publix here to donate things to their cause. There's a young lady, she's so cute, she's about 7 years old, and she sells tissue covers to help flood victims in Louisiana. And then we have children of different ages that are doing more they're doing philanthropic things in their community, and they're raising money by the by the hundreds of thousands, and they're doing things. And so I think we're finally, Sonia, weeded out the entitlement group, and now we're raising up a generation of children who care and have passion and love and forgiveness inside of them. With that being said, how are your children adapting to your son being away and knowing what he's doing? I know your 12-year-old and will understand that somewhat. So how are your children that can understand adjusting to him being gone?
They're adjusting well. They know he's gone, and they always say they miss their brother, they miss Tony, but they know what he's doing there, you know, and that was something that I've always been open with all of my children about. I just set that culture in my home of just loving Jesus and serving people. So, you know, even in my little ones, they understand, not so much my 3-year-old, but the other ones, they understand. And, you know, they're able to FaceTime with him, and, you know, they also like to get involved and help. So when I'm doing outreach, in our community here, they're helping me put the gift bags together. And, you know, I mean, they only can do so much at the, you know, 5, 4, and 3, but they're helping me. I think they're adjusting pretty good.
It's very important that you teach your children this type of behavior, because it teaches them to respect other human beings. And I think that's one of the most important aspects of being a human that we could learn. Learning how to respect other human beings as well. So I commend you and your husband for taking that on and being an example to other families how to raise children and raise them to be effective in the community and at home. And for the record, so I can put that out there for everybody, it is not easy to homeschool your children. That's a whole other arena. I don't even think I want to talk about it tonight, but we'll talk about it another night. But it is not that easy. I think people just say, I'll just bring them home and teach them. But you really have to spend time with your children. But, you know, Sonia, I'm going to tell you why I did it. Because I didn't want someone else putting values in my children that would contradict the way I'm raising them at home. One of the reasons why I did it. Why do you homeschool?
That was the same reason I homeschooled, and I really felt it all went along the lines of our values. With my oldest son, just teaching him the right values and the culture that we wanted in our home, and, you know, I really felt that, you know, if the Holy Spirit is our teacher, then the Holy Spirit's going to teach me how to do this homeschooling thing with my oldest son. And so I always were spirit-led schooling. And my son, he wasn't. He was not going to fit in the typical box, you know, going to school and, you know, just, I just knew he was just different. And he was very, very, firm that, you know, he loved people and that he was going to do this in life and he wasn't going to go the school route. So that's the reason why, you know, I homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
But right now with my 6- and 5-year-old, I don't homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
We take them to a charter school, and the charter school is really, it's comparable to homeschooling. They really go off the children's gifts and their strengths. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very rare. Charter schools that hone in on gifts. We're facing a lot of challenges in our educational system, and one of them is, you know, more gifts and talents and things, and as opposed to putting them on a path of learning that contradicts their personality and what's on their lives. I remember going to Sonia. I went to, you know, take the state test, and it was for a particular grade. And I went to my daughter's middle school, and, you know, we got information on the test and what kind of behavior to expect from our children. But when my children came home, they were so wound up about this test, and I had to make them take a break, literally make them take a break and say stop. They were in a panic because they couldn't understand completely what the assignment was, and, you know, you give them sample questions and things like that. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I still don't get the new math. I don't understand it. It's like
no.
2 + 2 has become a scientific equation now. New math is really ridiculous to me. And I raised my children. We taught them how to add and subtract before they got to school. And here they go to school and learning something totally different, and making adjustments. How would you weigh in on the states or the nations at, meter of gauging these children and what they're learning educationally, and how much pressure that they're under to perform now?
Yeah, you know, that was a huge thing too that I've seen. I'm not going to say that school when I was, in elementary school was the greatest, but, even now I remember going, summer break ended after Labor Day, and we went back to school. And, the kids nowadays, they're starting the beginning of August, second week of August. And, I just think that it's too much being pushed on them that it's, I really see that they're like, I don't even want to do this at all. There's too much homework. Mm-hmm. I remember homework was supposed to be, we do that at school. If we didn't finish, then that we would take it home and do it. But now they have a whole separate packet to bring home. And and the kids are getting worn out from it. It is.
Yeah.
So, That's another thing that I love about the school that we're taking our two youngest daughters to, is that it gives the parent and the child the choice of having homework or not. So, because sometimes they're doing homework 3 hours after, and it's like we could be spending time with them. We could be helping them, find their passions and their gifts, and training them up in that way. So
yes, yeah, I think that is very when the children become overwhelmed with the extra work, and on top of the work they're already struggling to retain, it puts a lot of pressure on these children. I can't remember what state it is, Sonia, but I think I'm going to say Texas. There is a teacher who sent home a letter to her parents, and she simply asked them how they would like to do homework with their children. And the following year, she sent home a letter and said there will be no homework in this class. And she said the only homework that they have is the work they did not complete in class. That's their homework. And I think we got to get back to that. This extra stuff they do. And then, Sonia, they took a lot of artistic classes out of the schools now. We don't paint anymore. I don't know how old you are. I'm 45. I had econ class in middle school. I had to learn how to cook and make a cake.
Yep. So did I.
Make some dinner. I went and took sewing class. Now these kids nowadays came to sew a button on. I took sewing class. I took cooking class. You know what I'm saying? We took gym class. We ran outside and we played. Now we get away with it now, but we don't do those things anymore. And I'm the first to say that there shouldn't be any outside entity raising your children other than your parents, Of course, your daughters and your sons too, hello, in the kitchen, teach them how to cook a meal, teach them how to make their beds, teach them how to, fend for themselves. By the time my daughters, my two oldest ones, were 12 and 13, they could cook a full meal, wash their own clothes, clean the house, not just their bedroom. They could clean the house and that's the way I raised them, and they're very efficient in
yeah.
that now. I'm seeing that today. We don't do that anymore. We just totally got off the mark, Sonia. I miss singing.
Yeah.
You know, the kids bring home that big old piece of paper with all of the paint on it. You remember that when we used to bring home our,
yeah.
our paint projects in class? We don't paint in class anymore. We don't express our artistic side and creative side, you know. What? Tell us, you know, some of the things that you do with your homeschool students that gave, I know you did it, that gave them that that avenue to be creative.
You know, a lot of it was art and music and
mm-hmm.
dancing. So we did a lot of that. And then my my son has a bit, he has the entrepreneur spirit as well. So that's what we did. I helped him set up a t-shirt business online, you know, get the domain name. So a lot of the homeschooling was, you know, a lot of that as on top of the basic learning, you know. So
mm-hmm.
That's how I was able to have them explore the other creative side.
Wow.
And we would go on field trips.
And you said dance.
Field trips.
You said dance?
Yeah, dance. Ballet.
Wow.
Dance, ballet. It was prophetic dance, actually.
Come on, girl. I was waiting. I was waiting for you to say it. I was waiting. She's going to say it. She's going to say it. That's what I'm saying right there. And learning how to flow in that spirit of creativity, which is what prophetic dance is. It is the,
yeah.
the it is a demonstration of the heart of God to you through you, and I love that the dance. We had dance class in school. Remember that? We did have dance class. That was one of the classes you could choose from. They don't have that anymore. You know, dance club or whatnot. But that was specifically
mm-hmm.
for a particular thing. You know, do we have programs in school anymore? You know, you put the performance on. Is you know. For me, it was Black History Month, and so the dance class put on the dance, the band would do something, the choir and all the choruses would do something, and we don't do any of that anymore. Am I just old-fashioned or what? I'm not down for the new system. I don't know how you feel about it.
No.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't understand.
Yeah, and I
and
think that that's
dance.
Why we have
Go ahead.
That that's
Go
why
ahead.
We have so many junior high, you know, mainly high schoolers that are dropping out, you know, because they're, you know, they don't want to fit into that box. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
they may have a gift in arts and entertainment, you know, our media and, you know, our, and it's like those things don't get, and business, you know, like in high school, it would have been amazing to learn how to budget and how
mm-hmm.
to start a business and all of those things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we did learn that. I will never forget my business teacher. Her name was Miss Abda Drubble. And we all called her Miss A. I think I was one of the few students that could actually say her name. And she said, you know, you guys don't know how to write a check. You need to know how to write a check, and you need to know how to dress an envelope, because that's a part of business. Today's
yeah.
children,
yes.
they can't write a check, and they don't know how to address an envelope, put an address on the front of the envelope, where
mm-hmm.
to put it. They don't write anymore. You know, cursive now is an art. Did you know writing manually is an art? You type everything, you know, things type in the computer on the keyboard. I get the relevancy of the days and times in which we live. I teach relevancy in our creativity class. We talk about, you know, relevancy. But it seems that in certain arenas, being relevant means that certain ways of human behavior is now sacrificed. And you know, I guess we have to make some adjustments, you know, here and there. But, you know, Sonia, I'm going to take a short break. I want to come back and talk to you in the last last 15, 20 of the show. I want to talk to you about your gift to the community and what you're doing. I don't want to say what it is because I want you to introduce it. and talk about it, because then we're going to get some people on board to help Sonia in this endeavor. I talked with her about it earlier today, and I'm just really passionate about what it is that she's passionate about. And when I found out that Sonia likes to do what I do, I was extremely excited. So I'm going to take a short break, and I got to pay a bill. So when I come back, we're going to talk to Sonia about her her gift to the community, and we'll be back just a second.
This show segment is brought to you by Rise Management and Consulting Firm. Rise Management and Consulting Firm is helping you rebuild your credit. Learn how to understand your credit, read your credit score, understand your credit rights, repair your credit, legally watch your credit score improve within 30 days. You'll get consultations, unlimited email access, and 10% off your first product purchase. For more information, visit www.risemcf.com. That's www.risemcf.com. Or visit them on Facebook, Rise Management and Consulting Firm, helping you rebuild your credit. Hi, it's Crystal Willingham, inviting you personally to join me every Tuesday and Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio / Glam Network Radio. Every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7 p.m. for Power, Triumph, and Influence, brought to you by Glam International. Please join me again every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/ Glam Network Radio, or you can dial in by phone 646-668-8135. Or, for more information, visit my website, thetotalwomanglam.com.
That's right, you guys. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7 p.m. And since I'm talking about it, this Thursday we will not be on live, but please join me for a recap of my show with Kezia Alford, another lady that I adore so much. We just kind of sat here like Sonia and I are doing, and we had girl chat, and it was awesome, awesome, awesome time. And I'm enjoying my time with Sonia Land. Again, you know, I think she's such a phenomenal woman, and I love her spirit. I love her passion for life in Christ Jesus. I love that. And we've been talking about raising children, homeschool, you know, what it means to homeschool your children, sending your kids to charter school. We're doing that and talking about our children. Now, I have had some experience with homeschooling, and it has not been easy for me, but I enjoy it still because it gives me that time with them, and it makes me feel fulfilled as a mother. And I think Sonia can relate to that as well. It's just something about us being able to talk to our children, build confidence in them, and raise them up. And so I'm glad you shared that portion of your life with us. Thank you so much. And so I want to talk to you briefly about your gift to the community. When I discovered what it was, again, I was so excited. So tell us about the organization that you are forming and what the purpose of that organization is.
Okay, so our organization is called Pearls, and it's an outreach ministry that reaches out to women that are being sexually exploited. In Southern California, we reach the strip clubs, the local strip clubs out there. And in Reno, Nevada, we reach the strip clubs and the local brothels. They have the legal brothels here. And so we go in and we just be Jesus to them. We share the love of Jesus to them. And we can't really minister to them unless they ask, you know, and want it. But our purpose for going in is just to let them know that we love them, we're here for them, we understand what they're going through, and for them to just have somebody that is walking alongside them and supporting them in this hopefully short journey of theirs and where they're at. And so that's what we do for outreach, you know, and we do a lot of mentoring and meeting with the ladies as well. But what I found is that a lot of them don't have any background, educational background, and are they have been in the industry and they have a record and they get a job. And so they're very entrepreneurial minded as well. That's where I was like, what else can we do? And that's where I was like, okay, well, business, you know? And so that's what we're creating right now, is helping them find their passion, helping them find their purpose in life, and to be able to turn that around and build a business with that.
Yes. That is, you know what, I can't remember, Sonia, who it was. I'm going to think about this. One of my guests last week from Sister Chat, from the Sister Chat crew in Pocono, 96.7 FM, one of them talked about that very thing in terms of domestic violence cases, where she works with an organization that helps women escape domestic violence. And she also incorporated an entrepreneurial platform in teaching these women how to start a business. And it started out with just getting them a tax ID number. Go figure, you know.
Yeah.
And from there, it grew into teaching women, teaching some of these women how to be entrepreneurs. I'm so glad you brought that up, because there are ways that we can, you know, make money and really open up streams of income. And we need creativity for that. We need ideas. We need mentorship. We need to talk to our ladies about balancing their budgets and, you know, and doing things legally so that so they can develop a you know, a nest egg, so to speak, what we say back then, a nest egg. So how are you able to, how are you guys, how are we able to help with your organization with Pearls? What is it that we can do across the world? Because believe it or not, our show will soon be syndicated in another country. So tell us how we can help with Pearls and what we can do to help build that platform with you all.
You know, I think a lot of it is just prayer and support and local hands and feet and, you know, of course, funding as well. Right now, we have been in a long process of trying to get this abandoned building and turn that into a place where the women have a safe home and they don't have to worry about, you know, a roof over their head, finances, and be able to learn how to budget, you know, and the whole financial part and business, and be able to do that in a safe environment. And so I think a lot of what Pearls is needing right now is prayer and support.
Prayer and support. And that is exactly what I told you earlier we're going to be doing for Pearls, definitely prayer and support. And also going out into this arena can also, you know, be dangerous at times. And so we want to make sure that those of you that are listening that have the heart that I do, Samara's house is a transitional house that we'll soon be building to help assist women transitionally who are escaping sex trafficking. And we'll be doing that as well. And zoning is a big issue here as well. But Atlanta is one of those portals. When I first moved back here 9 years ago, Sonia, I had a young lady staying with us, and she had a seizure. And we took her to the hospital. We had to call 911 to come get her because, we didn't know she had seizures. She didn't tell us. And so we called 911. She had it right sitting on my bed. I'm talking to her, and she had a seizure. Got to the hospital, Sonia, and the police officer who was also the security guard pulled me to the side, and he said, "Do you do this often?" And I said, "What?" And he said that there were so many women that were coming through the hospital who were hurt and had been abused because they had gotten here into the city thinking they were coming for one thing and came for something else. And and he was very, very passionate about reaching out to me and helping this other women. And I told him, I said, I have nothing. I can't invite these women into my home. I don't want to put my children in danger. I told him I don't have facilities like that. He was really asking me, can you just please can you afford a bed or anything? And it was almost as if his heart was sunk because he had seen face-to-face what this does to women. You know, it's very, very I'm almost in tears because I remember that moment very vividly 9 years ago when he petitioned me to bring in someone else and I couldn't do it. So that's one of the reasons why we are going to build Samara's House. What, you know, inspired you to embrace this form of outreach?
You know, what inspired me is it's my background. That was my background. So when I fell away from the church, that's what I went into. I heard about the legal brothels in Nevada, and that's where I came. And so I did that for 10 years off and on, up until about 7 years ago. And so I just remember, you know, when I was first out of the industry and I was a new believer, I remember, like, I felt so much shame. I couldn't talk to anybody about it. The only person that I could talk to was my husband, you know, but at the same time, like, you know, and I went through different, like, programs, like Celebrate Recovery and, you know, Breaking Free and Deliverance and just different things like that. But I still held that shame. I could talk about, you know, alcohol and drinking, but I never could bring up the prostitution. And so I held that in for a long time. And I felt like, you know what, there is women out there like me that need support, that need somebody to talk to, that need somebody to help walk alongside them, that have been through it, or that just can simply have the heart to understand them. So that's what really built that passion for me to reach out to them. And then, you know, the struggles that I've had to go through this last 7 years, you know, of being a new believer and really walking.
Yes.
What is this? What is, you're building a whole new life. I felt like I was a baby.
That's
again.
Right.
You know, you actually are.
And,
you know,
and you are. You are building a new life.
So,
you are.
That's where the passion came from. And
you have
it's needed.
You got to come back. I wanted to introduce you as the wife and mom and everything, but I want you to come back and we'll talk about it real soon. I want you to come back and talk about this outreach because it's very, very to me. And I know that's important to some of my other listeners as well. They listen. And I have one woman in particular here in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Her name is Prophetess Dewan Hill, and she also visits strip clubs here in the city, and they minister to the women in the strip clubs. And and it hasn't been easy because, you know, us church folk go in there and tell them they all going to hell, and that's just not how it goes. but they have gone into the strip club and minister forgiveness and love and healing, and that's what we're supposed to be doing, Sonia. I really, really appreciate you coming and joining us. And guess what, you guys? Sonia's going to be doing mom tips on the Glam Network Radio on Power, Triumph, and Influence. So we look forward to hearing her mom tips right here on our station, on our network. I'm so happy that she agreed to do that. So all of you moms out there, I got a sister with 5 kids, and then I have another sister that's 1, and they're always reaching out for tips. And I tell them, hey, I do not have that market cornered. So I don't know. I just, you know, I winged it most of the time, but trial and error. But thank God there's some things that I know indefinitely. So Sonia Land is going to bring us mom tips every week. Thank you, Sonia, for spending time with us in the audience. I'm so glad I was just able to kind of chill and relax and chat with you. You know, that's my theme song says, relax
you.
And chill. We'd love to have you come back again and talk about your outreach and pearls. I love pearls, and I'm glad that you opened that platform to talk about this particular kind of outreach. You guys, thank you so much again for joining us tonight. Sonia's going to be back, and we're going to talk about pearls, and she's going to be back with Mom Tips. Again, this Thursday night, I will not be live, but I will bring back a pre-recorded show with Kezia Alford. If you guys missed that show, and a lot of you said you did, you can come back and listen to Kezia Alford on Thursday night at 7 p.m. I'm taking a break. It's Labor Day weekend. Go and do something with your family. Go and do something with your husband and your children. Put down the grind, social media, and go do something crazy with your children. Go do something new and adventurous, and you'll be surprised. God meets us on our adventures, and that's one of the things that we talk about in our ministry, how to do things different and be new and explore different things in your life. Your life gets redundant and it gets boring. Do something new and watch how much you'll discover God in the new things that you do. Thank you so much for joining us, Crystal P. Willingham. And this is the Glam Network Radio Station. And this is Power, Triumph, and Influence. I love you so much. God loves all of you, and he loves all of me. And I'll see you next week, live and in color, at 7 p.m. on Tuesday night. God bless, and have an awesome, awesome, awesome night.
Hi, it's Crystal Willingham inviting you personally to join me every Tuesday and Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio / Glam Network Radio. Every Tuesday.